Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. A lot of soccer slash football, whatever you want to call it, wherever you're from. But let's dive into the La Liga, which is the Spanish division. So the La Liga title race is on between Real Madrid and FC Barcelona. Madrid have not dropped any points in five games since the restart, while Barca have only won three and tied three. So they've been dropping points here and there. We're in first with the league restarting, but Madrid has since passed them. So now it's basically in Madrid's hands. They look a lot better than Barca right now, and they basically have not missed a beat. Benzema looks great up top. Gareth Bale really hasn't been able to show really what he's capable of yet since the restart. Courtois has been all right in the back. Sergio Ramos has been great. But I don't see Barcelona being able to make up ground that they've lost since the restart, and I see Madrid winning the league there. Moving on to the Bundesliga, it was the first major league to return and has now come to an end. Bayern Munich have won their 8th straight league title, and Robert Lewandowski has won the Golden Boot for the 3rd year in a row. Alphonso Davies has won Bundesliga Rookie of the Year at age 19 and could be the best left back in the world in the coming years. I mean, you think of Robertson on Liverpool, in terms of younger left backs, but his speed is something else. He recorded the fastest sprint ever in a Bundesliga game, which was 22.7 miles per hour. Like, I barely hit like 15 miles per hour on the treadmill. Like, then this guy, during the middle of games, hitting 22.7 miles per hour. I mean, it's amazing. He sees the field so well. He's just running down that left side flank the whole game, finding Thomas Müller, Robert Lewandowski, Serge Gnabry. I mean, I really don't see Bayern losing the league for the next 5 years. They're absolutely stacked. But Davies, he's a great prospect out of the MLS, played for the Vancouver Whitecaps, and I think he's a very bright future ahead of him. Dortmund finished in second place and RB Leipzig in third. Erling Haaland, Dortmund's star for the last year, will stay as his contract is now expiring until 2024. But Jadon Sancho has been linked to multiple Premier League clubs, with Man United and Manchester City as the front runners. The second leading scorer in the Bundesliga, Timo Werner, will be heading to Chelsea this summer, and Chelsea have also signed Hakim Ziyech from Ajax and could potentially sort out a deal with Leverkusen star Kai Havertz, which would be absolutely huge for Frank Lampard's men. Speaking of Chelsea, they will face Manchester United in the FA Cup semifinal on July 18th with Manchester City and Arsenal in the other matchup. And the winner between those two games will meet up in Wembley Stadium later July or early August, I believe. So that should be a great game as well between whoever makes it between those four teams. Manchester United is 3-0 against Chelsea this season and are looking to make it 4 to push them to the FA Cup final and to give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer his first trophy as a coach with Manchester United. He took over the job last year when Jose Mourinho was sacked and had that famous win, that miracle night in Paris when Man U came back down 2-0 in the aggregate, won that game 3-1, and won on away goals. And the scenes are absolutely amazing. And that was really his first big win. Man United gave him a big contract after that to have him stay in Manchester. And they've been great. They haven't lost a game in the last 15. I think they've recorded 10 shutouts within those 15 games. So Man U definitely have not missed a beat since the restart, and they just look great. And with Paul Pogba back from injury, he has fit in just well with January signing Bruno Fernandes, who came from Sporting Lisbon in Portugal. Bruno Fernandes now has 5 goals and 3 assists and 8 Premier League matches with Man United so far. So I think Man United definitely got their money's worth with their new central midfielder. As a Manchester United fan myself, I'm very happy with how my team has been playing since the restart. Marcus Rashford hasn't gotten the board yet, but has recorded a couple of assists. And youngster Mason Greenwood has looked very sharp. Got a goal against Brighton. Great goal with his left foot, just striked in the bottom corner. Nothing the goalie could do about it. And I think he's got a very bright future with Man United. And Anthony Martial has recorded the club's first hat-trick in 7 years in Manchester United's second game back against Sheffield United. And the last person to do it is Robin Van Persie in 2013. So Man United were waiting. They had to wait a very long time for someone to record a hat-trick. Obviously, fans have not been attending the games due to the coronavirus, but the energy's still there for Man United, and they definitely have not missed a beat. Arsenal have looked like a complete mess since Project Restart. The first game back against Man City, they lost 3-0. David Luiz had an absolute stinker of a game. Drew was the reason Man City got a penalty, and he also misjudged the ball badly in the box that led to a Raheem Sterling goal. Chelsea has not missed a beat either, like Man United, and they are sitting right in front of the Man United for that fourth place, for that Champions League spot. So those two teams will be battling out for that final spot in the Champions League. But Frank Lampard's men, they've been looking great. Christian Pulisic, who they call Captain America, probably our best talent that we have right now. He's netted two goals in two games and has looked very promising. Tottenham Hotspurs, now under coach Jose Mourinho, they've looked decent, but I wouldn't say anything extraordinary. But it's been good to see striker Harry Kane back and fit, and he recorded a goal in Tottenham's second game back. Manchester City lost 2-1 to Chelsea on the road, which crowned Liverpool as champions of the league for the first time in 30 years. With 28 wins and only two draws and one loss in the season, Liverpool are on pace to pass 100 points on the table by the end of the season, as seven games still remain. This is a team that has been totally restructured in the last couple of years, but financial risks that were taken have most definitely paid off. By the end of the season, Liverpool is expected to break a number of records. There is no weak link in that starting 11 squad, and they have been truly dominant under manager Jurgen Klopp. Regardless, if you hate them or love them, there is no denying the greatness this team has pulled off this season. Even last season, they won the Champions League and only had one loss in the Premier League, but seven draws, which is why they were still outlasted by Man City by only 1 point. I think Man City finished in 98 and Liverpool finished in 97, so they're right there. And they've just been absolute dominant for the last 2 years. The front line of Mohamed Salah, Roberto Firmino, and Mane, they've just been an absolute nightmare to opposing defenses. As we saw against David Luiz's Arsenal, was not great for him. That's all we have to say about that. So Liverpool has spent a large amount of money in the last 2 years on players like Virgil van Dijk. He went over from a transfer fee of 93 million euros. And then goalkeeper Alisson from Brazil, he came from AS Roma, was also very high transfer fee. And center mid Naby Keita. So those are the top three. Those are top three players who have cost Liverpool the most, but definitely been instrumental to their success. And I think definitely Virgil van Dijk has paid off for Liverpool. Was right behind Messi to win the Ballon d'Or last year, and he's just been great. So hard to get past him. He's such a presence. He's big. He's physical. He's fast. And then you have Alisson in goal. I mean, he's been battling injuries, but he's looked good again. Has been solid since Project Restart. So it's good to see for Liverpool fans. I've recently been watching the Netflix documentary series on Sunderland AFC, who were relegated back-to-back in 2017-2018. Let me put that into perspective for you guys. So imagine if the bottom three teams from the NBA were relegated down to the G League, and then the top three teams in the G League were promoted up to the NBA. That would never happen, just because the difference between the gap of the difference between the talents in both leagues. But let's just say that happened, right? Sunderland goes from the Premier League down to the Championship, which is the second division in England. And then they were relegated again from the Championship into the third division, which is called the League One in England. Like, that'd be going from the NBA to the G League and then to, from the G League, like amateur bowl. Like, I mean, I guess that's not a super fair analogy, but just to kind of put that in perspective, you guys, It's happened very few times. I think Wolverhampton Wolves, that happened from 2012 to 2014. But they're right back in the Premier League. I mean, they've got the players they need. A lot of their team has Portuguese talent, like Rui Patricio in goal. They have Adama Traore, who came from Barcelona. You have Raul Jimenez, who's been great from the Mexican national team. And they're right there. They're battling with Man U for that fifth and sixth spot in the Premier League right now. So, but I really don't see Sunderland getting back to the Premier League anytime soon. They're a complete mess. Just the club's in a lot of debt. The ownership isn't great. And that's what we've been seeing in the documentary series. And there's also just not a whole lot of motivation for the players. They've lost a lot of talent. So just not really where they want to be. And it's continued. They still haven't got a League One back into the Championship. So it brings up the point that really, the success is nothing without money today. I mean, it's very hard to build a team, basically any sports league right now, just through players up through the academy of the team or the club. I mean, Liverpool making the big signings they have in the last 3 years, obviously has not let them disappoint at all because now they've won the league. But it definitely shows that, at least in the football world, money definitely can buy happiness. I mean, money isn't all, though, as Jurgen Klopp has done a phenomenal job with the squad and has moved the right pieces to get a team that basically only wins. So you got to give credit where credit is due there. But you lose when you get relegated from the Premier League to the Championship, the players' contracts go down significantly. I mean, there's not as much revenue. And then from Championship to League One, it's even worse. So, I mean, Sunderland, they were showing a documentary that in their first season in the Championship, from the January transfer window, they weren't able to sign anyone. I mean, they just didn't have a lot of money in the club, and they were in debt. And obviously that led to even more of their demise, and then got relegated to League One. So it's actually funny to think that Liverpool actually has a couple of players from who used to play for Sunderland, but mostly from Southampton. But big signings, Van Dijk, Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino, Sadio Mane, they're all in the 40 million region of their transfer fees. So I'm not saying Liverpool is all money. I mean, they have good academy players like Trent Alexander-Arnold, but I mean, money definitely has a big part, at least in the football world. And obviously, I mean, you see in the NBA and the NFL, the teams with money generally do good. I mean, for the exception of the Knicks, but we don't have to really go there. But let's just moving on to American football. The New England Patriots have signed free agent and former MVP Cam Newton for a 1-year deal that'll pay him up to $7.5 million. So to put that in perspective, Tom Brady signed a 2-year deal for $50 million with the Bucks. Tom Brady is in his 40s. Cam Newton's in his early 30s. Cam Newton didn't have an MVP season not too long ago. I mean, it was Super Bowl 50. We're coming up on Super Bowl 55. I mean, granted, Cam Newton is not the QB he was 5 years ago. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, I guess the Patriots are the really only team that was interested in him. I think he wanted someone to take a bet on him. And regardless of the money, I think he just wants to get back into the game. I mean, Tom Brady, it's Tom Brady. Like, you're going to pay him as much as he wants to go live in Tampa Bay. And they got his buddy Gronk, too. So, I mean, the Patriots did have very little cap space. I'm sure they would have wanted to pay Cam more, but they're somehow able to make this deal. And I was just in shock when first reading the news. I mean, granted, we don't know if Cam can stay healthy next year, as he was signed like most of last year with a foot injury. But it'll be very interesting to see if this ends up working for the Patriots or if it'll be a complete disaster and a waste of time. Because you have Jarrett Stidham, who Belichick and co. picked up with their fourth round draft pick, not this year, but last year. So many thought that Jarrett Stidham would be Belichick's guy. But now you bring in Cam Newton and be like, hold on, you're not the guy. You're going to have to compete with Cam Newton, who knows where he is health-wise, talent-wise. I mean, for all we know, he can have an MVP season next year or the year after. Who knows? I mean, we haven't seen anyone really succeed under Belichick's system besides Brady for the last decade or 2 decades. Like, so I think this is definitely they're definitely rolling the dice here, the Patriots, and either it can go very well or it can go very bad. I don't think there's really an in-between. I mean, granted, New England does have one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the league. And they have a very solid running core with James White, Sonny Michel, and Rex Burkhead. They're hoping to keep all three of those running backs. They might have to make room for more cap space and get rid of one of them. But if they do end up keeping them all, that could take the load a little bit off of Cam. But he'll be thrown to the likes of Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman. I mean, Julian Edelman's a little bit older. He's not quite the receiver he used to be. I think there'll be an interesting connection there. Obviously not the same connection that Edelman and Tom Brady have had for the last couple of years. But, I mean, I want to see Cam do good, man. I mean, I don't love the Patriots. I've never been a fan of the Patriots. I actually quite hate them. But, I mean, Cam just, after his 2015 season, had an okay season 2016. Just hasn't been himself since. I mean, who knows if Von Miller did to him Super Bowl 50. I mean, we saw. But I really hope he can. I honestly could see him as comeback player of the year if everything works out how it should. So, I mean, same with Kaepernick. He just wants a chance. He just wants a chance. And I think Cam Newton got his opportunity and he took it, so I'm happy for him. Cam obviously plays with a much different style than Tom Brady. But I think New England is looking forward to something new. And frankly, Belichick has the opportunity to prove that he can have success without Tom Brady. So I'll probably get this signing a letter grade of an A-, because New England isn't spending a whole lot of money, meaning it isn't a huge risk, and it's only a one-year deal. So it's not the end of the world if everything doesn't go right with Cam. But if it does, it could prove to be the best free agent signing of the year. But I have no idea. We'll see. Moving on from Cam Newton, the NBA is set to return earlier than the first proposed date of July 31st. And early, I mean one day earlier. It would kick off with matchups between Utah and New Orleans and the Clippers and Lakers, LA showdown there, which will most likely be the two teams in the Western Conference Finals. And then the Celtics will face the Bucks the day after on July 31st, which I think could be the matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. So all 22 teams in Orlando will have 8 games to play before the 16-team playoffs start to determine final seeding. The Lakers are 5.5 games in front of the Clippers, so they should lock up the first seed, and the Bucks also probably will in the East because they sit 6.5 games in front of second place Toronto. I'm more than ready for the NBA to start again. I'm sure everyone is, and I can't wait for all the drama that comes with playoff basketball, but a lot could happen the next month in terms of the spread of the virus, and so I really hope it works out. Because all the players will be in a bubble in Orlando from August until October, it brings up the discussion that will there be an asterisk on the team who wins the NBA championship this year? And is it positive or is it negative? In my opinion, I think it's going to be the hardest championship for any NBA team to win ever. The league has never been put under any circumstances like this before. And like, think about what the players have to go through. I mean, you're in Walt Disney World. You're at the same hotel every night for August, September, October. I mean, late July technically, but it's going to be brutal. I mean, I'd love to see how, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it'll all work out, maybe the players will have fun all being together, but to pull everyone away from their families for 2 or 3 months, like, that separation is going to be really difficult for a lot of players, but, I mean, a lot of players are actually opting out not to go. Avery Bradley, guard for the Lakers, has opted out not to go, and he's staying home with his son, and is going to continue to have his voice heard by others for the Black Lives Matter movement. And DeAndre Jordan doesn't look like he's going to go play with the Nets as he's tested positive for the virus. Doesn't look like Kyrie Irving's going to go, even though I don't think he's healthy anyways. Spencer Dinwiddie's also tested positive for the coronavirus. And the Nets will be down a lot of players. But J.R. Smith has actually replaced Avery Bradley for the Lakers for the remainder of the season. So it'll be interesting to see if the impact he can have on LeBron and AD's Lakers. But who knows? Maybe it'll be fun, or maybe it'll be a complete disaster. Who knows? I mean, we're not going to know until it starts. I think the players will be excited to get back out there, but there's just so much going on in the world right now where a lot of players' focuses are on other things than basketball. I mean, as fans, we want to see basketball get back as soon as possible. Many players want to get back as soon as possible, but there's still so much going on in the world right now that is coming in the way of that. And I think that's definitely going to affect players mentally and emotionally. And who knows how they'll be physically. Obviously, not everyone's going to be in shape or fit. But, I mean, I think we'll still see the main teams that are favorited, the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, Celtics, Raptors. I think we'll also see them advance as far as they should, just because that's star power. But to bring guys back after 3-4 months, team chemistry could be an issue. Health issues could still arise. Who knows the level of the stamina of the players as they haven't played in a while. So I definitely believe that this is going to be the hardest championship for any NBA team to win. And think about how great The Last Dance was. I'm really hoping there's a crew filming this throughout, and that will hopefully come out in the next couple of years, and that'll be insane to watch. So moving on to the MLB. The MLB will return with a 60-game regular season. After a lot of disagreements between the MLB and the Players Association, this is ultimately the plan that was decided. There may be a lot of health risks, but for most players, I think they're willing to take risks to play again, and they've openly come out to say that, while others are still against it. So it kind of goes both ways. But the return date for now has been set for July 23rd or 24th, and there's still a chance that this can all fall through due to health guidelines or financial issues, but many fans are eager for the league to start up again and to watch some baseball. So it's been great to see a lot of leagues starting to come back. I mean, we've seen PGA, NASCAR, UFC, but actual structured leagues, NBA, who knows the deal with the NHL? I think NHL will kind of follow in terms of when the NBA and MLB is actually set. And football training camp is still set to return in July. So a lot going on this month in the coming month of July in terms of what's coming back. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm hoping that all the health guidelines will still be followed and that there'll be no issues there. But obviously, that's going to be harder to control. But I think the NBA is definitely taking the right approach here in terms of the bubble. It's going to be harder for a lot of players, as I said earlier. But I think it's just going to make it so much more sweeter that whoever is crowned champion will lift that trophy. I think it'll be the sweetest moment for any NBA team. To think all that we'll have gone through from August to October. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm sure many sports fans are looking forward to it as well. So that's all I got for you guys today. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll see you guys soon.